This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5. And Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone. A multitude of countries outraged and disgusted with Israel's barbaric and illegal treatment of the Palestinian people are participating in a five-day legal hearing event at The Hague in the Netherlands. The venue, the United Nations top court, the International Court of Justice. The states have strongly expressed what humanitarian obligations Israel has to Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank. How wrong, immoral, unethical, inhumane, evil, and illegal it is to use humanitarian aid, more specifically starvation, as a weapon of war. Representatives and envoys have taken turns addressing the court with condemnations and demands, while the Israeli regime continues to call the ICJ hearings persecution of Tel Aviv, bias and anti-Semitic targeting of the Zionist entity. ICJ hearings and the fate of Palestinians today in Gaza and the occupied West Bank is the focus of our Spotlight program. But first, let's listen to what some of the speakers had to say during latest court sessions.
No humanitarian aid or commercial goods have been allowed into Gaza since the 2nd of March, which has devastating humanitarian consequences in the Gaza Strip. The Secretary General continues to call for humanitarian aid to reach all people in need. As I stand before you, 295 United Nations personnel have died in Gaza since the 7th of October, 2023.
These are the facts.
Voici donc les
Starvation
faits.
Is here.
La famine
humanitarian
est
aid is being used as a weapon of war.
Est utilisé comme arme
All
de
UN supported bakeries in Gaza have been forced to shut their doors.
Ont dû fermer leurs
Nine
portes.
Of every 10 Palestinians have no access to safe drinking water.
Accès à une eau potable
Storage facilities
propre.
Of the UN and
les
other international agencies
et d'autres organismes
are
internationaux
empty.
Sont vides.
Israel may not impose any measures specifically prohibited by international humanitarian law, such as mass forced displacements, the destruction of property, transferring in of colonial settlers, targeting schools, and even targeting the school curriculum to erase the history of the Palestinian people. Israel is not entitled to subject the population to collective punishment while indiscriminately bombing civilians and civilian property on a large scale.
Gaza balances on the brink of famine. Hospitals lie in ruins. Millions of Palestinians in the Strip, as well as in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, face existential despair.
Mr. President, it is too late. All the evidence points unequivocally to genocide. The window, if any, to stop the ongoing genocide in Gaza is rapidly closing. The question before the court does not concern an ordinary armed conflict. It deals with a genocidal situation, and as such, it requires a response to address its specific circumstances.
And now for our guests. Joining us is Leila Hatoum, editor-in-chief at MENA Uncensored, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Amateur Ali Hamieh, writer and political analyst, also joining us from southern Lebanon. Hello, and I'd like to welcome you both to the program. I guess, Leila, we'll start with you in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Leila, no food, no fuel, medicine, or clean water, no humanitarian aid whatsoever allowed into Gaza since the 2nd of March. And people that don't keep up with daily events, that might seem horrific, and they don't realize that that is a 100% siege on the entry of humanitarian aid, that there's already 95% blockage and siege on Gaza since October, and possibly a 20-30% since 2007. It has never been easy, but right now it is impossible to survive if you're a Palestinian in Gaza. Your initial thoughts about these ICJ hearings taking place?
Well, some people would say hooray for hearing all these words of sympathy and support of Gaza that we heard over the past 3 days, and it will continue until May 2nd. I do believe the hearings will continue until May 2nd. But unfortunately, these are just words. They will never be translated into actions. Otherwise, we would have seen some action over the past 2 years. We already know that the Israelis and the Americans who are supporting them have weaponized aid when it comes to Gaza. We know for a fact that the people have been starving not only from now, but since last year's January, and people started dropping because of famine and starvation since last year's February, but nobody did anything. With the total, what you call total ban of aid, humanitarian aid coming into Gaza since March 2nd, 2025, they're trying to dilute the story that in the past there was some aid coming in. In fact, in reality, since 2008, 50% of the aid wasn't coming in, not 20%. The Israelis were performing what you call calorie count on the Palestinians. And the total blockade that happened since March 2nd, it actually, in fact, started since November 2024. They were only allowing commercial trucks to come in, but not humanitarian aid. And those commercial trucks belong to merchants who deal with the Israelis and who sell the merchandise at astronomical figures, which Israel, Palestinians themselves, they cannot actually handle. So it's starvation irrespective. So when I look at the whole situation, it's just talks and wasting time. Why would the United Nations General Assembly ask for an opinion on whether the Israelis have the right to actually starve a whole population or not? I mean, it's clear under international law. They want the ICJ to tell them that they cannot stop the United Nations from getting aid into Gaza. This is the most hilarious and despicable thing I've ever heard. They're just wasting time. And the Americans, of course, they cannot use their veto power at the General Assembly level, only at the United Nations Security Council level. But the General Assembly decisions that come out after this hearing, the ICJ will give a ruling. The General Assembly will make a decision based on that and a resolution. But those resolutions are just what you call not mandatory. They are optional. Mm. You cannot enforce it. It doesn't have the power to be enforced. So at the end of the day, the United Nations is now wasting 5 days in total for us to hear something that everybody knows.
Very strong points and compelling, and you're very accurate there, Leila, and thank you for your initial take. Ali Hamieh, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the conversation, sir. I'm glad Leila mentioned the General Assembly because it was, I believe, the 79th session back on July 17, 2024 that Antonio Guterres shared this report that also South Africa touched on yesterday as well on the second day by Michael Fakhry, UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Food. Now, this is not since March 2nd. This is back last year, 8 months before March 2nd, the 100% siege on all humanitarian aid by Israel. It said, quote, starvation reflects the state's fundamental abandonment of its human rights obligations, Ali, and further, that the state of Israel has deployed the full range of techniques of hunger and starvation, perfecting the degree of control, suffering, and death that it can cause through food systems, leading to this moment of genocide. And like I said, this report is from 8 months ago. It's talking about the Zionist entity using science to be as evil as it possibly can to weaponize humanitarian aid, including food, as weapons of war against Palestinians.
Well, the Israeli entity start from the beginning to have pressure on the civilian and civilian infrastructure to subjugate the military of Hamas to be under control. Up to now, no succeed. But the problem is this entity is fully backed and supported by a superpower as such as United States, and specifically United States, to be an outlaw and without any punishment. Any other country around the world should do that. It could be now under the Article 7. Beside that, in addition to what I have said, the Israelis did not recognize or implement any of the 76 UN resolutions since 1948. So now they are trying to terminate and to finish the Palestinian cause once and for all. They are trying not only for displacement, but also for genocide, try to kill as much as they can by starvation, by bombarding, by killing, by cutting waters, by doing all, by all means, by all barbaric and savage means, the Israelis are doing so. As mentioned, like now, the Israelis are being watched by the ICJ, and I think this will do nothing because Israel is not given any value for such courts, in, either it's international court or criminal courts of justice. So the Israelis are now above the law, being an outlaw, supported by United States. And I think that the UN members and UNRWA and others stop crying and grieving and do some actions against the Israeli aggression against Gaza. All what we see, what we hear, with all the evidence, with all the evidence in our hand, and is still waiting for to form a general opinion for what's going on in Gaza. We see it, it's noticeable, it's remarkable, it's it has been seen by the whole world. It's different from the Holocaust. Nobody noticed the Holocaust, but the Holocaust against the Palestinian is under our eyes, and we can see it every day. So what's the international people, international countries, international law will do to help the Palestinian? I think will do nothing because Israel is not considering, is not recognizing any of this, let's say, values for a humanitarian aid or at least to stop killing the people. At least to stop killing the people. They are doing every day new massacre, and nobody is saying anything. Even we can see the Arab League is only attending and sayings without any actions.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
And these are good points that both of you pretty much said pretty much the same take on this. Leila, so I'm going to have to come back to you. I mean, basically, it's kind of a broken record, and I agree with both of you. Listing Israel's war crimes, its actions, its obligations, that it's failing. What we should really, the court should be putting on trial these last 5 days is perhaps Israel's exceptionalism, its impunity, its total disregard for international law, and how that can be addressed, rectified, and corrected so that the regime could be held accountable. So one has to ask at this point, Leila, these 5 days of hearings, is it a complete waste of resources, or can anything possibly constructive come out of it?
Well, nothing that comes out of it will materialize on the ground. So for me, at least, and for people who share my opinion, it will be useless. They're wasting resources and time to tell us what the world knows, what international legal system knows, what the General Assembly itself knows. They already have laws that actually apply to this, and they could have easily resorted to those laws to carry out or make a decision, take a decision at the General Assembly level. Unfortunately, when you actually debate whether the United Nations should be allowed to help Palestinians on the ground, on a battlefield, the civilians who are dying of hunger, and that the Israelis have an obligation to allow the United Nations to operate in a place, That's the most despicable and the hilarious thing that you can hear at the same time. It's very ironic that the Israeli entity until today is not a full member of the United Nations, despite the fact that they try to insinuate as such. They were admitted to the United Nations as an entity that will be recognized so long that it actually fulfills two conditions. Until now, it hasn't fulfilled these conditions, including the right of the Palestinians to return to their homeland. So at the end of the day, you have an international legitimacy begging for an international court to give it a decision whether that occupation entity has the right to ban the people on the ground from being held by the United Nations. It's despicable. And by the way, for something that people don't know, a couple of years ago, when there was a vote at the General Assembly level, whether people have, basically whether access to food is a human right, everybody voted yes except two countries, or one entity and the country, the United States and the Israeli entity. So the Israeli entity and the United States, since a couple of years ago at the General Assembly level, don't recognize access to food as a human right. So do you think it's going to change for them now, after many years? The General Assembly didn't do anything last time, and it's not going to do anything now. Even if a legal decision comes out and it's basically recognized by the international community, it will be only on paper. I don't care for paper. I don't care for international laws anymore. I care for actions, whether we can save the Palestinians from being starved to death or not. But in parallel, there is another basically hearing happening at the ICJ level, and that's the South Africa's case against the Israeli entity. And that's the one that I'm monitoring at the moment, because any decision that comes out from that, you can have states who oppose the Israeli entity impose these sanctions on the Israelis on the ground. So any Israeli that passes through their territories, anything that is owned by the Israelis, anything that has to do with Israel can be actually confiscated or implemented against the Israeli entity.
And Ali, I'd like to also for you to weigh in on it. Complete waste of time, complete waste of resources, or do you feel that it's imperative that countries get together? They talk about Israel's policies, its violations, even though, according to Leila and yourself, you alluded to it earlier, this court has no teeth. It doesn't have the kind of jurisdiction the Palestinians need to get recourse today. But not holding these hearings, not having this these words and these violations shared with the world and echoed across the planet, it also deprives Palestinians of the voice they need to one day impact a public opinion and ultimately policy.
Let's say if we compare what's going on in the world, and especially if we compare between the Palestinians' right and the Jewish rights on the balance, we see in case any operation done by the Palestinians to protect their lands from any aggression coming from the settlers, we see the whole world will condemn such act and try to say we would like to have stabilities in the region, and especially in Palestine. Now we can see the genocide, we can see the massacres, we can see the ethnic cleansing in the Gaza Strip, and we see the attacks that have been done against Jenin, and the big iron gates that implemented at the entrances, and we see nobody is talking about what's going on. Beside that, we have new 10,000 POW, as they call them, but I call them detainees, or let's say they have captured them with no reason, with no accusation, just to fill their prisons and jails, and to show a picture to the world that there is a big number of Palestinian terrorists. So there is a two image in the world. One is very strong, supported by the United States, supported by big media, supported by most of Western countries, supported also by the state of normalizations in our region, supported by the mentality that being interrupted by the news that received from the Western media. Now we are getting used to see massacres in Gaza, and nobody will move, will have any action to stop that, because we get used. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the people in power. Nothing is moving them to see all those massacres, because they get used to see it every day on every news around the hours. So I don't know how to what to do to show a new way of media to move again those hearts and minds toward the Palestinian cause. I think we need a big effort.
And you're not alone, Ali. Leila, Zionist entity, it is banned, UNRWA, and for viewers that do not know what that is, that's the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian refugees, a source of aid, medical attention, and education. Then it goes into Gaza and the occupied West Bank and attacks schools, hospitals, while it lays siege on food and medicine and medical supplies. What kind of plan is this, Leila? This deliberate, systematic, and methodical plan, what is it designed to do?
Well, I always say that you have to just listen to what the Israelis are saying, because they are actually telling you the truth. If you hear Daniela Weiss, the demon who actually leads the settlement or settlers movement towards cleaning up or ethnically cleansing Gaza, she tells you, she says, we are here to enforce conditions whereby living in Gaza will become impossible and the Palestinians will have to leave to neighboring countries. They want to clear the land. So if they can't clear them by killing them, because they've tried for the past 2 years to bomb them, burn them, rape them, abduct them, and I would call it abduction, not detainees, and the Palestinians are not prisoners of war. They are not detainees. They are not prisoners. They are hostages who were abducted by the Israeli occupation. So they are creating these circumstances and conditions whereby living conditions would be impossible for the Palestinians, and they will have to leave at one point in time or die. Just listen to what the Israelis have to say. And when you actually said that it's good for the international community to hear what's happening with these hearings, I disagree with you on this matter. Do you know why? Because at the end of the day, they could have actually set up one day at the UN General Assembly level to discuss all of that, and the whole world would have listened to them, instead of wasting 5 days where people get accustomed to the news and they get bored with it and then they don't care at all.
Interesting take, and I have to agree, and I stand corrected. You're right, it does become normalized, and people just get used to hearing about the Palestinian plight, the Palestinian struggle, and that's just part of the world as it is. And I agree with you on that, Leila, that's another slippery slope we have to avoid, and that doesn't help Palestinians much either. Ali, final thoughts with you. So how much can we do as the world when we have this ICJ and I agree with both of you that it is kind of a waste of resources, that seems like there's more that could be done to address the oppression, the ethnic cleansing, the terrorizing of Palestinians in Gaza, in the occupied West Bank, from the Mediterranean all the way to Al-Quds, Ali. You know, a lot of these Western leaders and voices from their capitals, they condemn Palestinian armed resistance, saying that that's not the way. So what is the way? When the ICJ isn't the way, when the United Nations Security Council isn't the way, what is the way for Palestinians when the West themselves does not allow them any recourse for atrocities committed against them, Ali?
I think we have to face their belief and their doctrine, and to remove from their head that Israel should be protected and untouchable because of the Torah prophecies and because of anti-Semitism, or because of the Jewish Holocaust. And they should take this against the Palestinian. The Palestinian should not survive, should not be recognized, should not be should not have any state, any kind of state, because if the state of Palestine will live, no state of Israel will live at the same time. So they have to choose, according to their doctrine, either a Jewish state or a Palestinian state. And we believe in this case to support as much as we can, at least by the media, that the Palestinian has the right to have, at least on the land they have now, at least, but they should have the full shape of the Palestinian map and under the control of the Palestinian, the native people.
Thank you both. Time has gotten the better of us. Appreciate having you both on. Stay safe to the both of you. Leila Hatoum, their editor-in-chief at MENA Uncensored, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, and Ali Hamia, writer and political analyst, also joining us from the south of Lebanon. This brings us to the end of your Spotlight program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghiba.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers, and we raise our hands in supplications, so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being, is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God, that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back, dear friends. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance on Dialogue. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. In this dialogue that we're covering, it is a dialogue between Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and one of his companions by the name of Ishaq ibn Yaqub. So we find that Ishaq ibn Yaqub, of course, he wrote these multiple questions and queries to Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And in response, His Eminence gave these answers to him about these various different issues. And so one of the things that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam says to Ishaq ibn Yaqub is that as far as the problems which will occur in the future, you should refer to the narrators of our traditions for their verdicts as they are my proofs to you, and I am Allah's proof to them. So, of course, I'm sure that many of you have heard this very famous statement of the 12th divinely appointed Imam and the awaited savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And so here we find that even though this conversation took over 1,000 years ago, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is speaking about the various problems and probably the innumerable and countless problems that will occur in the future. Now, as unfortunately some of the Muslim sects have understood it, they believe that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi did not leave a successor. And so what's interesting is one of the things we learn from this statement is that the Imams themselves, and especially the 12th Imam, when he is going into greater occultation, has not left the Muslim Ummah without a guide or without somebody to look towards when it comes to the religious problems and religious issues and the socio-political and communal issues that the Muslims will face. So how is it possible that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the seal of prophethood, did not have the acumen or the insight to have a successor where the Muslims could look towards? But here again, this idea, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, speaking about how the people should refer to the narrators of their traditions because these narrators, these muhaddithin, these fuqaha, these jurisprudents, these maraji, these symbols and these individuals that are to be emulated, these people are the proofs of the Imam upon humanity, just as the Imam is the proof of the Almighty Allah as well upon all of humanity. And so here in the present day where we are faced with troubling times, again, it is the Maraji, it is the esteemed leadership of Wilaya, it is esteemed leaders like, for example, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, or we had Imam Khomeini in the recent past, may Allah bless his soul, and other great religious scholars such as Ayatollah Sistani, who are the proofs of Imam al-Mahdi upon us, the human beings, just as Imam al-Mahdi is the proof of Allah upon them. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Quranic Nubuwwah. If I'm on the path of the Anbiya, I have to fight against the Tawaghit. Ayat of Quran. The Anbiya would get busy. Surah 3, verse 146. 3, 146. وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍّ. How many of our prophets? قَاتَلَ مَاهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. a multitude of godly men would fight alongside that prophet. A multitude of godly individuals, righteous people, would fight alongside the prophet. After that, we came to wilaya. There was wilaya between us as believers. There was vertical wilaya between us and God, us and the representative of God, us and the imam of the time, us and the wali of the time, wilaya. The problem of all of humanity, you and I, we wonder what kind of a situation is mankind in that would allow a situation like Palestine? Why is it the whole world can watch for 150 days while there's ethnic cleansing and just watch people slaughtered? What happened? The Ahlul Bayt teach us that all of the misery you see in the world, the root cause of it is the wilaya of the taghut. This is a hadith. The imam says this, Nahnu aslul khair. We, Ahlul Bayt, are the root of all goodness. Wa furu'u ta'atullah. The branches of goodness are the obedience of Allah. Wa aduwuna. The enemy of the Ahlul Bayt. Aslu shar. The root of all evilness and wickedness. Wa furu'u ma'siyatullah. All of the branches of wickedness. The slaughter, the murder, the homelessness, the rape, the killing, the torture, the fruit, the branches of this evil tree of the wilaya of the taghut.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. They say that Newton stole the story of the apple from Robert Hooke. Was it Newton or Robert Hooke who discovered gravity? Or neither of them? About 100 years before Newton, the issue was written in a book titled An Analysis of Astronomy by a Genius in the 15th Century. In the course of history, an entire city has rarely been planned or changed by a single person. The beginning of Shah Abbas's urban development was in the boldness of imagination and the huge scale of the plan. The illustration of the universe in Naqsh-e-Jahan Square has four aspects: the direction, length, and width of the buildings around the square and the Imam Mosque are all architectural illustrations of the religious principles of Islam, with a language rich in the mysteries of architecture and urban planning, as narrated by Sheikh Baha'i. Naqsh-e-Jahan Square, which is known as Half of the World, is 8 hectares. The illustration of the complete world is 1,024 by 313, which equals 320,512, or 32 hectares, which is 4 times the physical world. In other words, the universe has 4 aspects. The visible and material world is only 1/4 of the whole universe, and 3/4 of it is unseen. This is a mystical allegory of the first 4 verses of Surah Al-Baqarah.
Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
The Naqsh-e-Jahan Square has 12 entrance gates. 12 is a special number in the ideology of Shia Muslims. Binary numbers, or the parity system that rules the world, have been profusely used in the calculations of the square, like the distance between the entrances and the main buildings, all of which are multiples of 64. That is, namely 2 to the power of 6. The Qaisariya Gate is an illustration of the beginning of life. If we consider the Qaisariya Gate as the starting point and the end of the square as the pulpit of the Imam Mosque, Ali Qapu and Sheikh Lutfullah Mosque are located in the middle at a distance of 640 meters. Ali Qapu is the downward arc, or the origin of creation, from the head of the Qaisariya Bazaar to the transverse axis of Sheikh Lutfullah. And the ascending arc is realized from this point, which is the end of the universe, to its innermost point, around the point of the pulpit, which in Islam is the point of complete surrender to God. Sheikh Baha'i believes in 2 ways of guidance to reach the straight path. One of them is in the west and passes through the Ali Qapu Palace, and the other one passes through the east and the Sheikh Lutfullah Mosque, which is the path of the enlightened ones, or those who are involved in mysticism. But the novel point of Sheikh Baha'i's illustration is that both paths lead to the same destination and pulpit. The Sheikh is a combination of science and mysticism. The height of this double-walled dome is 52 meters in an area of over 500 square meters. Its weight is estimated to be 650 tons. Definitely, very accurate and complicated calculations have been done for the structure. The architect is said to be Sheikh Baha'i. The religious noon indicator stone, or clock stone. A right-angled triangle whose hypotenuse is designed exactly along the north-south direction and causes the shadow to be formed in front of the hypotenuse when the sun is right in the middle of the sky at noon. 300 years before the emergence of the term urban design in Europe, Sheikh Baha'i designed the largest urban axis in the world with a length of 5 kilometers, with all aspects of urban, social, economic, religious, managerial, and architectural theories and implemented it in 31 years. Without any exaggeration, Sheikh Baha'i is the first city builder in the history of human science, which had no equal for three centuries after him. Currently, Chahar Bagh is the longest pre-designed and built urban axis in the world. The width and length of the movement path in Chahar Bagh is respectively equal to 47 and 330 meters, equal to the dark and light angle of the Earth during the solar year. In each half of the year, the Earth's axis has a deviation of 23.5 degrees from the rotation axis of the solar system, which is called the angle of deviation of the Earth from the galaxy, which is 47 degrees in total. The length of Chahar Bagh included 14 pavilions or tall garden buildings of 313 meters and amounted to a total of 5,040 meters. 5,040 is a code in the history of science. Plato declared the population of his ideal city to be 5,040 people. But the history of the number is something else. The length of the path between the two holy hills on the way to the Kaaba in Saudi Arabia, which are used in the religious practices of Muslims, named Safa and Marwa, is 360 meters. All Muslims who go on the Hajj pilgrimage pass the distance twice during their pilgrimage, which is seven times, which is equal to the number 5,040. The angle of Safa and Marwa to the Chahar Bagh axis is 12 degrees, and again, the number 12. Illustration is a part of the eloquent and magical expression of the principles of Sheikh Baha'i beliefs with the tool of geometric multifaceted proportions in the physical and artistic language of architecture and urban planning. This is why it leaves no room for doubt that by trusting our oral history, we, like the general public, can consider Sheikh Baha'i as the designer of the Naqsh-e-Jahan urban complex. Najafabad's design, architecture, and city-building style are still desirable after nearly four centuries. If you tour across the city, you will not find a single alley or street that has a curve or does not lead to a crossroads. Another important achievement by Sheikh Baha'i was the building of the famous Chahar Bagh Mosque. Since it was located on the path of one of the water channels of the Zayanderud River, and it was not possible to build a huge stone building on top of all the mud and water, and since the building could face the risk of collapse, Sheikh Baha'i made an interesting initiative. Sheikh Baha'i's method of making the special mud for building huge buildings on marshes and mudflats later attracted the attention of Europeans, and they also used this interesting method to construct buildings and made their huge buildings with this method. In some areas, they still use this method. According to oral history and in the public opinion, the construction and restoration of many famous buildings of the Safavid era are attributed to Sheikh Baha'i, which has led to a detailed discussion on verifying the claim among experts. But what is certain is that even if Sheikh Baha'i was not the architect of the buildings, he was certainly a member of the designing team, or at least their advisor, and his teachings in his numerous books were a guide for architects even after his death. Sheikh Baha'i wrote a separate book on each of the teachings and sciences of his time, about 100 masterpieces. For more than two centuries, the masses in the Iranian nation and the laypeople in the Shia world all obeyed the instructions of his book, The Abbasid Society. The monks of the monastery chant their rituals from the book, The Key to Salvation. The Mujtahids learn the principles of jurisprudence from the book The Wisest Principles. Islamic scholars consider the book of
Habl al-Mateen as their reference. His poems are recited in every meeting. Those who are eager to learn mathematics, natural sciences, philosophy, interpretation, hadith, speech, syntax, literature, jurisprudence, etc., learn their desired knowledge from the book written by the Sheikh on those subjects. And all of them can be found in Sheikh Baha'i's book, Kashkur.
Desde el corazón de Asia Occidental, la hora de Irán te sumerge en el mundo persa. Conocerás su cultura y posición en el mundo.
Hola, queridos oyentes. Bienvenidos a una nueva emisión de La Hora de Irán. Es un placer estar con ustedes. Bueno, como siempre agradecemos a todos los que nos siguen en